Good morning. It's really good to see you all here. It's a privilege to lead worship this morning and to be in community with you. Joining me in leadership today is our music director, Dr. Sarah Svensson, our junior organ scholar, Cadence Brassard. Our choir is spread among you. May this be a meaningful and a spirit-filled time for all of us. Rosedale United Church is a hub supporting human flourishing in this community and in our city. We are proud to be an affirming congregation. And this is a community for people of all ages, gender identities, sexualities, family configurations, and backgrounds. I'm just hearing that buzz again that happens sometimes when I have this. I'm just going to take this mic off. Okay, Ben? Yeah. Were you guys hearing that buzzing too? Yeah, okay. So that, and it seems to me like it's gone now. So our ears are all okay, yes? That's good. All right. This is a community for all people, as I was saying, and we acknowledge today as we gather for worship that we do so on land that has been stewarded by our Indigenous siblings for millennia. I invite you to take a good look at our bulletin for all the announcements that are there. Pass it along to people in the neighborhood if you like. And if you're not yet signed up for our e-newsletter that comes out every Friday, it's called the Keeping in Touch, or the KIT. I invite you to speak to me after the service and I can get you signed up for that so that you regularly get our news. Next week we have our kind of welcome to the summer season lunch. It is a fully catered taco extravaganza downstairs. You will not want to miss this. There's plenty of food for all, so come on out to that. We'll also be celebrating our outstanding volunteers in this congregation, all of you who make our life here happen. The Sunday after that, June 18th, we have the special honor of hosting the moderator of the United Church of Canada. This is the spiritual head of our denomination. The Right Reverend Dr. Carmen Lansdowne will be here, and it will be a really wonderful service that we're holding in conjunction with 9 other United Churches in North Toronto. There will be a massed choir from all of those participating congregations. It will be a really wonderful Sunday. And we'll have food after that as well. So the next 2 Sundays, mark them in your calendar. Come on out. And today we're honoring Pride and also honoring the founding of this United Church. If this is your first Sunday here, big special welcome to you. Every Sunday we gather for tea and coffee after the service, and we do so right through those doors in the room that's right there. So stay and chat. Let us get to know you. Introduce yourself. Today, we have something really special. Right after church, we invite you to get your tea, coffee, some sandwiches, which we have available, dessert, and then come on back, because Cadence Brassard is giving a free concert immediately following the service. And this is a chance. She has a number of recitals and exams coming up, and this is her chance to run through her repertoire. And you all can be the beneficiaries of that with a free concert. I was hearing her practice before the service. It's going to be awesome. Kids, if you're here with kids, grandkids ever, Emma, give a hand raise. Emma's at the back. She's ready to take kids downstairs for their programs in a little minute. But know that, you know, we also have activity packs at the back. Stand up, sit down, make yourselves comfortable when you're here with kids. It's all good. Okay, a really, really happy announcement from the life of this congregation. Sarah, if you want to stand up. Sarah is engaged. Yes. Sarah and her boyfriend, partner, now fiance, Ryan Saunders, got engaged a couple of weeks ago, and we're just so thrilled for the both of you, Sarah. It's just going to be, yeah, we're just excited. Well, we'll be excited to celebrate with you over the course of now until whenever you get married. It's awesome. Yay. Yeah, so if you catch a glint of something as Sarah's playing the organ, that's what it is. It's the new bling, yeah. The beautiful flowers in the sanctuary today are in loving memory of Julia Kelly's parents, Jean and Edwin Kelly. Deeply Christian, lifelong members of the United Church, Julia's dad sang in his choir for 40 years, and Julia's mom was always involved in the UCW, president at least twice. They believed in helping people. And as we think today, as we celebrate Pride and also honoring church union, we think about what it means to be a church in our time and place, and we remember people like Jean and Edwin, Julia's parents, and we hold today the family of Julia Kelly. I'm going to invite us all to stand and join together as we call ourselves to worship. Our story of faith and ministry is colorful and vibrant. We have adapted to changing needs and ever-shifting demands. Celebrating 98 years as the United Church of Canada, we worship. And so we sing, "Let us build a house." We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 5. Friends, we greet one another with the peace of Christ, turning to our neighbors and saying, "Peace be with you." And the response is, "And also with you." We light the red candle, symbolizing life in all its richness. Come, let us worship, learn, and celebrate together. And as we are settling now, settling our spirits, settling our bodies, reveling maybe in this time to just take a breath and be and rest, I invite us into a time of silence as we gather our hearts and our minds and our bodies for prayer. Let us pray. Here we are, gracious God, gathered as your people on this 98th anniversary of the United Church of Canada. Here we are, joining generations who have worshiped in, shared the mission of, and cherished this denomination before us. Some of us know you through Scripture and in exploring your Word. Some of us understand you through a close relationship with Jesus, your Son. Some of us discover you in the community we form together. And some of us find you as we serve others. Some of us know your presence as we seek justice and right relations in this world. And some of us discover you in the stillness of prayer and contemplation. Many ways to know you, many ways to serve you, many gifts you have given to each of us for the common good. Together, we are the body of Christ. Together we are known as the United Church. Thank you, God, for this gift. Gracious God and creating God, this church and your church around the world have not always lived up to your vision. We know that the great religious traditions have caused harm in the past and continue to cause harm and pain to people who are not a part of the dominant culture. People of other faiths like Judaism and Islam, people of indigenous background, women. During this Pride Month, we especially acknowledge the harm the church has perpetuated and continues to perpetuate among LGBTQ+ communities. We know that as individuals, both intentionally and unintentionally, we have rejected and shunned those who are not like us. For this, we are truly sorry and ask your grace and your spirit to continue to reorient this church and all churches worldwide, helping us live an emerging faith while honoring tradition, challenging us to live by grace rather than entitlement. For you, gracious and creating God, call us to be a blessing to the earth. We sing together the words your Jesus taught us to say. We light the orange candle symbolizing healing, as scripture assures, if I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. As we open our theme this morning, a question that I invite you to ponder in your own heart. There's no pressure to share this with anyone. No mic will be passed around. This is just a question for you to contemplate. And the question that we have today is around foundations, rocks, touchstones. As you consider your lives, what would you say are the foundations that you have stood upon? What is the rock, that stability for you, whether it's a value, a way of being, what is the rock on which you have built your life and your living? As Sarah plays some music now, we invite you to contemplate. As we prepare our hearts to hear our reading this morning, we sing from More Voices, Come and seek the way of wisdom. We'll be singing verses 1 and 3. It's okay to stay seated for this. You're comfortable now. You can just stay as you are, but we sing. As Judy comes forward with our scripture reading, some context for you. The words of Jesus that you're going to hear Judy read have sort of, he's exhorting people to do something. And so it's helpful to know what the context is. He has just given the Sermon on the Mount. This is his major teaching to his disciples, where you hear phrases like love your enemy, go the extra mile, turn the other cheek, do to others as you would have others do to you. So this is the teaching that the disciples have just received. Judy will read from a more modern and contemporary translation by a man, a minister actually, named Eugene Peterson. It's from a translation of the Bible called The Message. Thanks, Judy.
This morning, a reading from Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 29. Knowing the correct password, saying, "Master, Master," for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills. I can see it now. At the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me and saying, "Master, we preach the message. We bash the demons. Our super spiritual projects had everyone talking." And do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourselves important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. When Jesus concluded his address, the crowd burst into applause. They had never heard teaching like this. It was apparent that he was living everything he was saying. Quite a contrast to the religious teachers. This was the best teaching they had ever heard. This is the witness of the early church. Herein lies wisdom.
Thank you, Judy. And while you are there, I'll get you to light the yellow candle. We light the yellow candle, symbolizing light.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Today, as we celebrate 98 years of the United Church of Canada, we celebrate our prophetic history. In 1988, the United Church of Canada decided that sexual orientation would no longer be a barrier to membership in the United Church, and hence to candidacy for ministry. We were the first mainline denomination to do so. In 2009, gender identity was added to that decision. Today, we celebrate Pride in many United Churches across the country. Many United Church members will tell you that our commitment to social justice and to following the radical hospitality of Jesus Christ is what makes them most proud of our denomination. And you hear us say every week that we're an affirming congregation. This means we take a positive stance against discrimination and violence toward lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and gender fluid people. Being affirming is also our chance to promote the self-affirmation, dignity, equality, and fundamental human rights of all. And it's with this context today that we're celebrating our denomination by lifting up some of our own pride stories. And so I invite Fabien Formanois, who has our first reflection today.
Kristen, thank you. And that was an impeccable pronunciation. My name is Fabien Formanois. Yes, that's pronounced Fabien, not Fabian, but Fabien. I will not quiz you on first name or last name, but just so you know. I grew up in northern Quebec, which is in a small mining town of 800 people called Joutel. My first language is French, and my parents are from Belgium. So the French we spoke at home was Belgian accented, and therefore very, very different from the Quebec French spoken by my friends. In school, I would use the language spoken by my peers, with the joual, the church-inspired swear words that are typical to Quebec French. I won't use them here, but I'm happy to demonstrate over coffee after the service if you'd like. My point is I would bring friends home. They'd hear me speak in my Belgian French as I do with my parents, and they look at me puzzled, like I was a completely different person. So much so that at school, they'd often ask, Fabien, parle-nous à la Belge, talk to us the Belgian way. So I was very used to feeling a little different and singled out. I always knew there was something more that was different about me. I always knew I was attracted to men. As far back as I can remember. And back in the 80s, in northern Quebec, in a small mining town, that wasn't really something that anyone spoke of. I grew up going to church every Sunday, where pride was mostly a sin, and I felt my difference, but I felt no pride. I felt shame. Brené Brown's defines shame as, and this is her words, the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love, belonging, and connection. I remember seeing images of pride parades and seeing it as a bunch of naked people dancing on a float and not wanting to be associated to that. So I grew up with a lot of that shame. I grew up thinking I was alone, that I would never experience what others do, that I wouldn't feel loved, and if I did, it would not be reciprocated. I wouldn't meet someone to spend my days with, I definitely would have children, I'd just be different, and I'd live in shame. Last week, my son Tristan, who's back there, turned 20 months old. His first word was, wow. He likes to demand that we read him books. He'll just bring a book and just sit on my lap. He has no idea what shame is. I co-parent my son with my partner of 16 years, Luis, back there, and our dear friend, Tanya, in the front. We all live together, and I've heard some people call it weird. Like, I think it's weird. Because, you know what? It is. Not as in sinful or shameful, but as in outside the norm. But I feel no shame. I'm happy with who I am. I'm grateful for my difference. And I'm grateful to be able to just be me without fear of judgment. And a little more Brené Brown, because she is one of my favorites. She writes, "If you put shame in a petri dish and cover it with judgment, silence, and secrecy, you've created the perfect environment for shame to grow until it makes its way into every corner and crevice of your life. If, on the other hand, you put shame in a petri dish and douse it with empathy, shame loses its power and begins to wither." And that's how I think of pride. I think of it as the opposite of shame. It's what gets created when you douse feelings of shame with empathy. It doesn't have to be about sexual orientation or gender. It's a celebration of uniqueness, and it's available to all of us if we're open to it. Thank you, happy Pride, and mostly, may we all be proud.
Fabien, thank you so much. That was beautiful, and I know that also took a lot of courage, and we celebrate with you and we affirm you. And we light the green candle, symbolizing growth and perspective. The question we're asked to consider today is what it means to be the church, not just to go to church, but to be the church when we leave this place, when we're interacting out with our families, with our communities, in our places of work, in our neighborhoods. How are we embodying the Spirit of Christ in our world? June 10th. Marks the 98th anniversary of the founding of the United Church of Canada. And this past week, I had lunch with two members of our congregation who are almost as old as the United Church, 96 and a half and 92 years old, respectively. One of them had an uncle who was one of the drivers behind church union in Canada. And as a student minister, a student no less, out in the West, he was responsible for supporting the spiritual lives of people in remote communities from Alberta's border with the US right up to the Arctic Circle. He traveled on horseback to all of these remote communities. Facing a vast expanse of newly settled territory full of struggling and isolated people and perpetually stretched resources, human and financial, the Methodist Church in Canada, the Congregational Church in Canada, and two-thirds of the Presbyterian Church in Canada united to become the United Church of Canada. From our inception, we tried to carry out the work of following Jesus by being inclusive and welcoming. When the United Church was formed, people thought it would be the first of many subsequent church unions. The goal was to be a strong force to save the soul of the nation. Rallying around the social justice issues of the day, the United Church of Canada considered itself the conscience of the nation. That was another way we tried to carry out our work as followers of Jesus. If we could just make everybody the same as us, we thought at the time. We could not perceive the beauty or the way God's Spirit is manifest in difference. We are still recognizing and reckoning with the fact that a racism that centered and considered white people and Western European cultural values and philosophy superior infected the United Church of Canada's conception of mission. Our operation of Indian residential schools perpetuated a harm so deep it's hard to see how it can ever be healed. A destruction whose legacy continues to do damage. And to this day, racialized people continue to feel othered, ostracized, dismissed by members of the United Church. We have not always lived up to God's vision for us as a church. In today's reading, Jesus offers us a corrective, a chance to think again about our foundations, what perspective we stand on, what rock should hold us as we move through the world, trying to be the church for our time and place. Today's reading is a touchstone, a means for us to reorient ourselves again to Jesus' way and his wisdom. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock, Jesus says. I asked the women I had lunch with this past week how they would each sum up their understanding of this rock, the foundation upon which they've built their lives as people who have tried to be the church for the world in their time and place. Both talked about service to others and how their service was inspired by how they chose to perceive the people around them, how they conceived of people. That was the most important foundation for these women, what they stood on as followers of Jesus that helped reorient them. "Can you believe," one of them said, "that in the residence where I now live, there are people who treat the wait staff and the care staff as though they are somehow lower than themselves? I was taught to treat others as though they are brothers and sisters," she said, "as equals, to treat others as we would like to be treated." We talked about this text this past week in our Bible study group as well. We tried to name the foundation Jesus was talking about, that rock, that wisdom that we're invited to stand on for stability as we try to be the church. It was Mariana who gave us the words. We are invited to perceive every person, no matter who they are, as a beloved child of God. In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, Jesus taught. A couple of weeks ago, I had a reunion with some of my best friends from high school, about half of whom still live in Alberta, where we grew up. One of my girlfriends is an engineer for a big oil company in Calgary. And I asked her how that company was adjusting now that we all know that oil is best left in the ground. Yes, well, she said, what if the world needs Alberta's oil? Another friend lives on an acreage, and her wife works as a ranch hand in a cattle feedlot. Do you think that in the future we'll all be vegetarian for the good of our planet? I asked during one of our discussions at lunch. Later, the tables were turned. How can you still be religious, my friends asked, when religion has been so reprehensible to gay and lesbian people and Indigenous people and to women? I don't know, I said. I guess I was just born this way. It's one thing to consider beloved children of the Creator, people who think a lot like us, or people who are open to becoming like us. But Jesus's challenge to those who would be his disciples is to consider even people who are totally opposite to us, people with whom we might have nothing in common, people who make totally different life choices, as inherently worthy and beloved children of God. Enter through the narrow gate, Jesus says to his disciples, just before his exhortation to build their house on a rock. Take the more challenging path, the route outside your comfort zone. The multiple Grammy and Oscar-winning singer and performer Lady Gaga wrote an anthem to inclusivity and diversity with her song, Born This Way. I'm beautiful in my own way because God makes no mistakes. I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way, she sings. Incidentally, Lady Gaga was raised as a Catholic and considers herself a practicing Christian, a person who is trying to be the church for the world. And I think her song is built on the rock Jesus taught us about, that firm foundation. It's not about loving people to whom we can always relate. This is a song, her song, and Jesus' teaching is about celebrating and honoring and loving people that we might never relate to. It's a song about seeing people as beloved children of the Creator, no matter gay, straight, bi, she sings, from Alberta or from Ontario, working for big oil or an environmentalist. Perhaps this is the way we can be the church for the world in our time and our place. We can honor difference over homogeneity as an expression of the Creator. Can we relate to people, conceive of the people with whom we interact and work with and who are in our neighborhoods and in our families and on the internet as beloved children of God? People with liberal values, people with more conservative values, older people, younger people, Russian people, Ukrainian people, people from China, people from the USA, people who think like we do, people who don't. Can we perceive and act on our faith that everyone is a beloved child of God? Can we move through the world with that spirit of humility and a spirit of forgiveness, and a spirit of mercy, and a spirit of faith, then I think we might be embodying the spirit of Christ, which is the work of being the church for the world. In our Bible study group, we thought this might be interesting to do, to drive home the point of Jesus' message. And so I leave you with this invitation to turn to your right and to turn to your left or to turn beside you or in front of you and to say to the people or person who is beside you, you are a beloved child of God. I invite you. We are all beloved children of God, born this way. Now go and be the church in the world. Amen. We light the blue candle, symbolizing harmony. Friends, let us pray. Empowering God, may your Spirit guide us in our personal celebrations and concerns. As a body of faith-filled people, may we also be guided in the celebrations and concerns of this gathered body. We celebrate the pride stories we have heard today. And we are grateful for the movement of your Spirit of love and inclusion, both within the United Church and Canadian society. We pray that all people who feel excluded by families, faith communities, and society because of who they are may experience your love in their lives. We pray for political leaders at all levels as they struggle alongside us to make the world a better place. We pray that the teachings of Jesus and those of other world faiths will work together to meet the challenges of our world today. And in our own efforts and work to be your church, we pray for wisdom. Amen. And we light the purple candle, symbolizing spirit. In this moment, our time of prayer continues, and you are invited to make a gesture. The gesture is lighting a candle as a symbol of a prayer that is on your heart, a person or place that you are carrying that you want to recognize and honor this morning with light and with community. In a moment, as Sarah plays, you'll be invited to come forward if you like. There are candles here and on either side. You're also welcome to just stay where you are. That's fine, too. If you're moved to make a donation to the work of this congregation, there is an offering box on the back, and we do encourage your support in that way. So join with me in our response. We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts. Friends, I want to invite us to stand as we sing My Love Colors Outside the Lines. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 3 right back to back. This morning, we have lit candles, red for life in all its forms, orange for healing, yellow for sunlight and all kinds of light, green for growth and perspective, blue for harmony, and purple for spirit, which guides us all. As members of this United Church of Canada, we are called to practice this rainbow of colors in our lives. In the conversations and interactions we have at home, at work, at play, as we go out into our community and the world to share the message that God's love is for everyone. We'll sing our parting blessing, and then what's circulating is a little moment of inspiration that Sarah had. And I was so happy to jump on board with this. I said, I know how I can work this into my message. This is awesome. Our postlude today is not what Sarah originally planned. We're going to sing Born This Way, Lady Gaga's Born This Way. We're going to sing the first verse, chorus, and then back to the first verse. If you know it, sing along. If you don't know it, just listen and love the words. But first, we're going to sing our parting blessing.